Our scripture this morning, John 3, we'll be reading part of Christ's conversation, what he had to say to Nicodemus, verse 13 to 18. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Good morning, happy Sabbath. Well, the sermon that I'm giving, my wife and I have worked on for some time. She's been my editor, so to speak, and been a very big help. The subject was love. It's about God's love for us and how he's taken and through his life and through our lives and lives of this earth history has taken and tried to express his love to us that we might know him better. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for your love, your endless love that you have for each one of us. Please guide and direct us, Lord, to do things in accordance with your will. May you bless each one of us, Lord, and help us to follow you closer each and every day. Be with us now. Let the Holy Spirit do the speaking. In Jesus' dear name. Amen. A lot of people think that the strongest love a person can have is usually the love for a child, right? A loved one. But that's not true. The love God has for us surpasses any love we've ever imagined. How much does God love us? Have you thought about that? What has God done to show you his love? You want God to love you? He already does, doesn't he? Those are questions that we need to ask ourselves. How much do we love others around us? Do you want to learn to love others like God loves you? He has done so much to save us from ourselves, to make it possible for us to be saved and be able to live with him for the rest of eternity. Time will mean nothing. God is love. To start with, God the Father, and Jesus the Son of God, had and the Holy Spirit had a plan to create earth and the stars and the planets that are around us. It's amazing the time work and everything keeps track and goes without fail. We are special. They made this world just for us to live on, along with the whole universe to enjoy, just for us. In Genesis 1:26-28, it says, Then God said, Let us make mankind in our own image, after our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Genesis 1:26-28. Adam and Eve were created after the animals and everything else on this earth. Then God created Adam out of the sand and dust of the earth. God gave him a beautiful garden to live in. God wanted to take and spend time with them. Each day he would come and spend time with them in the garden. It was a beautiful place, all kinds of animals. But one day something happened, a terrible mistake, and they were exiled from the garden. But God didn't give up on them. He still loved them. And down through the ages we have a list of things that happened with humanity. All through our first relatives were better use of their brain and everything. They still fell for Satan's lies and deception. Cain ended up killing his brother Abel. Then God had mercy on him and put a mark on Cain so that nobody else would kill Cain. God loved Cain and didn't want him to continue in his path that he was in, but Cain had to make his own choices. God did everything he could to draw Cain back to him. As time went on, things kept getting worse. Things got so bad that evil was on most of the people's minds continually, the Bible says. God knew that he would have to do something before everything was lost. God had Noah build an ark. God wanted to save all that were willing to listen and follow him. It took 120 years for them to build the ark. That's a long time. That's more than we live today, isn't it? 120 years. He also preached to the people around them. Then it was time to enter the ark. And God had the animals come and enter the ark. And then he had Noah and his family were the only ones that would enter the ark. The other people just ridiculed them, laughed at them, and going, "What's rain?" We know what rain is in Oregon, don't we? But they had never seen rain before fall from the sky. God sent the animals in, and then he told Noah and his family to go in. In Genesis 7:1, it says, "The Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation.'" Then the angel closed the door, and the people going, "Yeah, what's this rain you're talking about? There's nothing." For 7 days, they were in that ark. No rain, no floodwaters. But then, the rain started coming down. The waters, it says, from the deep came up from within the earth. And water and rain that we've never even seen like came from everywhere. The people were afraid. And they were terrified, and they begged for them to open the doors so they could get in and be saved. But there was a problem. The angel closed the door, didn't he? And they couldn't open it. I'm sure that some of those people out there were their friends, but they couldn't do nothing to save them. Their probation had ended. God had to do something through love to take and deal with the sin problem. Because if he didn't, things were just continually going to be worse. It was a sad day for this world. Water ended up covering the whole earth, and part of it as much as 22 feet over the tallest mountains, the Bible says. That most of the versions say cubits, but the NLV, and I think it's New Living Translation, says the feet. It says, "Finally, the waters covered even the highest mountains on the earth, rising more than 22 feet above the highest peaks." That's a lot of water. Where did it all come from? Miracle, isn't it? We don't know. We'd be thankful that God gives us a rainbow to look at when it rains to remind us that it'll never happen again. God loves mankind and is wanting the best for them. The water kept coming for 40 days and 40 nights. Then the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days, the Bible says. That's what, roughly 5 months? And already you had the 40 days, which was a month and 10 days. It says, "Then the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. After 3 more months, they were able to see the tops of the mountains." It took a long time for that water to evaporate, didn't it? They were 3 more months. That makes it already, what, over 9 months that they'd been in the ark. And they were just now being able to see the tops of the mountains. They ended up spending 1 year and 10 days in the ark before the ground was dry enough for them to get out. Now, God had to do some pretty big miracles to keep the animals and Noah and his family alive for that whole year, didn't he? Do we ever stop and think about that? The miracles that would have had to happen. No other creatures on the earth other than the fish in the sea were able to survive. Just those on the ark. And the things go on from there, and we end up with the story of Job. That's where they believe the ark settled down, which is now in the mountains of Ararat, which is Turkey. In the story of Job, most of us know that Job ended up losing everything, didn't he? And with boils on his whole body, the story was in the Bible that They couldn't even, his friends, when they came, couldn't even recognize him. He was in such bad shape. And through the story of Job, we understand where sin comes from, don't we? The master of sin is Satan. He deceived one third of the heavenly angels that were in heaven, that were with God. He was the highest of the angels, and he rebelled against God. They lost the battle and were kicked out of heaven and sent down to this earth. The battle was lost by Satan, and this earth is still his home. And he's still out there deceiving people today, isn't he? God wants to be able to save us, and he has the Bible for us to read these stories in for our good, for our understanding and knowledge, and so that we can know the things that have happened and maybe not do the same mistakes ourselves. Now we can read about Abram and how God asked him to leave his homelands and go and live in tents for the rest of his life and be a herdsman. We also know that there was a lot of ups and downs through Abram's life, wasn't it? Then we have the story of Moses in the Bible and his life and the 40 years in the wilderness and how the Israelites ended up going into the Promised Land and why they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness too, because unbelief, wasn't it? God didn't want them to lose track of him. He was doing all that he could to save humanity. Just all through all of this, God was always taking care of them. He kept forgiving their sins and shortcomings and blessing them when they obeyed him. The stories keep going on and on, showing just how much God loved them and loves us, and kept doing all that he could, his love, convey his love to the human race. Even when they did not listen or believe in him, he still worked with them. The stories of David are in there, and then Daniel and his three friends. And these stories about Daniel and his three Hebrew friends from Judah impressed me that I should take and spend a little bit of time on that, because they were just teenagers, young men, and how God had been working in their lives and how they trusted in him. They loved God and they knew that God loved them. When they were captured, overtaken by the Babylonians, the king took and had them do things. And in the Daniel 1, 3 through 20, we have a little story. It says, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defects, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. So he was taking care of them pretty good, wasn't he? They were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier, better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. Daniel 1, 3-20. It tells how God took care of the people that were faithful to him, didn't he? He took care of them, showed them their love, and through them, the other people got to see God's love, didn't they? Through his four Hebrews. During the time of Jesus, there were many, of course, saved them in the lion's den and the fiery furnace. God saved them, and that was part of their stories. And then during the time of Jesus, there were those that trusted him. Among them were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary loved to sit and listen to Jesus. Martha would cook for him and take care of his needs. And Lazarus would listen and sup with him. They were good friends. Jesus loved them so much that he forgave Mary of her sins. And when Lazarus died, he answered Martha's request and came. And he raised Lazarus back to life. The lives of the disciples reflect the love of God. Maybe not so much in the first years, because we had what John and James were the sons of thunder, they were called. But in the latter years, they became some of the greatest disciples. They took and reflected God's love to others and taught them about the Word of God and about what Jesus had done for them. Satan was continually working to destroy them. At the stoning of Stephen's, Saul was there approving. And after that, Saul went and asked for permission to go to these other cities and arrest the other people that are following this Jesus character. But on his way, something happened, didn't it? Jesus loved Saul. Even though he was doing wrong, he was doing what he thought was right. And he was doing his best at it. But Jesus knew that he had a different plan for Saul, of which he ended up changing his name to Paul. He ended up doing a great work and wrote quite a bit of the New Testament, didn't he? God can do wonders with anybody if they'll just let him. Then there's John. In around 95 AD, they figured that John was probably around 90 years old, that they had been trying to kill him many different ways. And one, they finally stuck him into boiling oil. And the boiling oil couldn't affect him. They couldn't kill him. They couldn't even burn him. And so they finally vanquished him to the island of Patmos. Patmos is about 37 miles southwest of Ephesus on the westward side of Asia Minor, now known as Turkey. There's a whole bunch of islands down in there. And they're just rocky volcanic islands, most of them. He ended up spending 18 months there until the next ruler took and allowed him to be taken off of there. They thought that they could keep this guy from talking and preaching about Jesus. But it's all about Jesus, isn't it? And they couldn't stop him. He ended up writing the book of Revelation there, didn't he? Which is very important for all of us still today. God was using him. He had visions and wrote the Revelation and called the Revelator. More about Jesus. the Lamb of God. It was finally time for Jesus to come down to this earth, as told to us in the Old Testament. The life of Jesus was to be an example of God's love for us, and how we can, in turn, live out that love towards others and show them Jesus in us. God wanted to save humanity. Jesus did not come to take over the whole earth with strict power, kind of like they thought they were. The people had misconcepted ideas and thought that he was going to get rid of the Romans for them and they would be back in power over the earth, right? They hadn't read their Bibles very well, or the scriptures of the Old Testament, for it told different, didn't it? The life of Jesus was to be an example of God's love. Jesus took and came as a humble servant to help others that were in need. He did not have or use any special powers that were not available to mankind. If he had of, Satan would have used that against him and said that it wouldn't be satisfactory for what he was doing. He wanted to show the Father and his love for them and to draw their hearts back to God. Jesus left his Father's side in heaven to be born as a human baby and remain in human form for the rest of eternity. Beyond our understanding, isn't it? Our God that created us would do this for us because he loves us. This plan was set up in heaven before the creation of this earth, that humanity could be brought back from slavery and make it possible for a man, male and female, to be alive, to be able to be saved and set free from the sins that hold us down and back away from God. It was to reflect the character of Jesus in our lives that God wants. Jesus went to the cross for us because of his love for us. He died for the sins of Adam and Eve, clear through to the end of this world as we know it, when Jesus will come again and take and save us. He was resurrected and is alive to show us that we can be brought back to life when Jesus comes back again. The Bible is full of information for us so that we can know what to do and to turn our lives over to God and let him fight our battles for us. We need to fully trust him and do all that we can to obey him. At creation, he set one day aside for us to rest on and to be able to spend time with him. That day was the Sabbath, and it is still the same today. Satan has been getting people to believe in his lies for thousands of years. Remember, he deceived 1/3 of the angels that were in heaven, and they were with God. How much easier are we to deceive? Don't let that happen to you. Spend time in his holy word, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is promised to take and lead us through into all truth. We just need to be open, to open our hearts to the leading of God and search out the truths there for us. In Matthew 28:18-20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Matthew 28:18-20. And then in John 1:1-5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John 1:1-5. Then Jesus tells us, if we really believe in him and trust him, that we will keep his commandments and obey him. Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. If we truly believe in him, then he asks us to obey him. He was the sacrifice that cleanses us from our sins and creates a new heart within us. He changes us from the inside out. We can't do it of ourselves. It says he lives within us, that he changes us. In John 1:10-14, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only Son of God, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He was the sacrifice for our sins. In Revelation 12:17, it says, "Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus." Revelation 12:17. The woman is the church, isn't it? It's God's church. And it tells us how to recognize God's people. They are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. John tells us in 1 John 4:11-16, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Then in 1 John 5:2-5, it says, "This is how we know that we have love, that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." He tells us that we are children of God. We're special, aren't we? We're his children. And he wants us to love one another as he has loved us. And that's one of the biggest things that we sometimes seem to have trouble with in this world, isn't it? With all the hate crimes, the wars and stuff, because people aren't loving one another. The time of the flood is an example of what the last days will be like and how our probation can end and the final judgment will work. We have no reason not to be saved. God is offering every possibility and opportunity for us to follow him and accept the free gift he offers us, the gift of salvation. God is pleading with each one of us. His love is being poured out towards us that we might recognize it and turn to him. And then he will save us. This is only possible if we take time to spend with God every single day, because the adversary is out there working to distract us, isn't he? And we can only have that relationship with Jesus if we spend time and make effort to do so. Otherwise, Satan will bring everything else in our lives and in our line of each day to distract us, won't he? He wants a personal relationship with each one of us. God has given everything that we need to be able to know how to be saved, and that he is the only true God. The only way that we can be lost is by not believing in Jesus and choosing to go our own way and do our own thing. Jesus is doing everything that he can to save you and me. There are two main things about God's government. One, God is love. And two, free will. God allows everyone to have free will, the freedom to choose whatever you want. It's up to us. God doesn't force us. He loves us too much. He wants us to follow Him and make the right choices. That is how God works. He loves with a love that is beyond our simple understanding, and He allows everyone to have the right of free will. Simple, isn't it? Why is it so hard for us then? He only asks us to love Him back as He's loved us, and to obey Him. He has promised us so much if we will only trust Him and accept the free gift that He offers, full forgiveness of our sins and eternal life with Him when He comes back again. It says in Revelation 3:19-22, "Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 3:19-22. Are you wanting to open the door and ask Jesus to come in and be number one in your life? He's there knocking. He's asking. If you can hear His small voice, He's asking, "Please open the door. Let me help you. I love you." Will you allow Him to lead in your life today and every day? To take and allow Him to be the leader in your life? To fight the battles against Satan and all of the things and troubles that go on in this world? He's going to be coming soon, and He is asking us to be faithful children and follow Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your continual love throughout all the ages. Thank you for all that you do for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray for one another, and we pray for our community and for this whole earth. Lord, pour out your Spirit and fill each one of us. Draw us near to you, Lord, and help us to know your truth and to take the courage and follow you no matter what. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for this Sabbath and this time to come and be with you and to worship you. Be with each person now and give them safe travel and mercies home, and give them a blessed Sabbath day. In Jesus' most loving name, thank you. Amen.